All right, BradCooney.com. I'd like to welcome to the show hip hop recording artist and producer Freemason. What is up, bro?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. You doing good?
I am, man. I'm living life right now. Just can't believe I'm out here chasing my dreams.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So before we get into your latest project, tell the listeners out there a little bit about you. Like when was it you first got into making music, and how did that all start?
I got into like recording and stuff back in 2016, best summer of my life. So I'm sure everyone can relate. Everybody's trying to relive that 2016 summer, but I ran into my classmate from high school, Cash. That's my producer. That's actually the producer of the song,
mm-hmm.
And he's been making music since middle school, so he was showing me his music on Apple Music, Spotify, and I'm thinking, this dude famous. I'm like, bro, this is dope. This shit sounds good. And I recorded on his microphone for the first time in the garage, and I just fell in love with it. So I just started recording. I went and got my own equipment, started teaching myself how to mix. Didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I figured it out over time.
That's how it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so now we here. I just been writing. I've been writing songs since I was 10, though. Like, I've always written poetry and like just written songs.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. Like a lot of artists, poetry is like the gateway into a career. A lot of times, it transitions from writing to rapping or even other genres like rock, country, blues, whatever. A lot of people, in fact, start out just jotting down poetry.
Yeah, I love poetry.
Now, let me ask you this. So, you know, hold on. I was going to ask you about your writing process, but we'll get to that in a few more questions down the road. Let's go another direction. When I was reading up on you, I was researching you, and you emphasized that what you have now and where you are now as an artist, you had to like work your ass off for it. Like, nobody handed you shit. Talk more about that.
Yeah, man. Since I was, I'm gonna get a little vulnerable here, but shoot, my mom been kicking me out the house since I was like 15.
Right.
You know, I was raised by just my mama, my sisters. You know, I was the only boy in the house. Mm-hmm. We grew up poor as hell. I just never thought I would even like be where I'm at right now. Because where I came from, like, it's real weird, but I come from, like, a cult. I don't know if you ever heard of the Jehovah's Witness religion.
Oh, my God. I had an aunt when I was a kid. She was a Jehovah's Witness, man, and she was nutty as shit, man. She was crazy.
Bruh, they're all, like, they just live in their own world, and they're so secluded from the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to, like, you know, my mom got this fellowship and we kind of left for some years. So I kind of got a taste of what the world was like a little bit. But for the most part, they're secluded, bro. Like, I wasn't really, like, for a while, I wasn't allowed to hang out with kids from school.
Yep.
I couldn't have friends outside the religion. They shun you if you, like, leave.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'll forget if I don't, it's just on the top of my brain.
No, go ahead.
I remember my aunt.
Yeah, go ahead.
I remember my aunt, she was married, of course, to my uncle. She was in Jehovah's Witness. I remember he got really sick. I was only a kid. I was probably like 10 or 11. But I remember he was really sick in the hospital. And Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in blood transfusions. And he fucking, he almost died. Like, somebody had to override her and like basically like just tell her to get the hell out of the way. And he ended up getting the blood transfusion, but she was like not wanting to get it for him.
Yeah, they're extreme. Like, yep. they will not fold on their faith, man. And it's like, it's even in a life or death situation, they won't fold.
Exactly.
And the thing is, I had to come. Like, my whole family is those witnesses. Most of them. I have my immediate family now because, like, when I left, a lot of people ended up kind of following suit, and right now a lot of people are trying, like, waking up and figuring out, like, this is not,
mm-hmm.
like, this is a cult, and it's traumatizing, and people who've left, you know, their families cut ties with them, don't talk to them. People commit suicide because they don't have their families.
Yeah.
And I feel like I came out here and I just pushed through all of that and did shit on my own. I bought a house when I was 20.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I just always been grinding. You know, my mom kicked me out when I was 18. She kicked me out the house. And I had to make a way for myself. And, you know, I had friends and I had a little bit of help on the way. I feel like you can't really do everything on your own. You need a little bit of help.
Oh, for sure.
And I was lucky 100%. Enough. I was lucky enough to have some people to lean on a little bit until, you know, I got on my feet.
Yeah. There's a girl named Kelly. She's passed away now. But she was my guardian angel. She was somebody because, dude, there was a time in my life when I was so freaking hungry, I had to sneak into the neighbor's garden and steal food out of their garden to eat. And my friend Kelly saw me in a bar one night. And she came up to me. She's like, are you doing drugs? And I was like, no, I just smoke a little pot. She's like, you look like you're on like coke and you look terrible. And then I told her, like, what happened? And I got laid off. I didn't have any more money. I was starving. She was the one that reached out and basically brought me out of darkness, dude. So I feel where you're coming from. I took her hand, too, man. She reached out to me. I ain't gonna lie to you. I took it because I needed it.
Yeah, if it's offered, man, take it.
Yeah.
It's one thing to take it when it's offered. It's another thing to ask for it.
Yeah. 100%, man. All right, cool, man. Well, that was cool. We have some things in common, man, with me and you. We're like, I'm probably like 30 or 40 years older than you are, but it doesn't matter. We have things in common, like that whole Jehovah's Witness thing. Man, when you said that, I was like, flashback when I was a kid. And my cousins were her children, and some of them were my age. And I remember, like, they never had Christmas. They didn't believe in Christmas, any of that stuff. And I was like, wow, that's so freaking weird. So, anyway,
yeah.
Let's talk about your latest track, man. It's spelled S-H-M-O-K. I know smoke, but it's schmoke in how you have it titled. Tell the listeners out there a little bit about the song. I listen to it, so I know it's what the song's about, but the listeners don't. So talk to them about the song.
So, yeah, the song was kind of just like, just one of those hype songs I just started working on, like, when I was going through some shit at the time. This was earlier this year, you know, my friend Cash, he sent me a little beat pack. I was going through all the beats, listening to him, and that beat just stood out to me. I don't know, it just had that, I just like that dark, gritty sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the beat was actually Schmoke. So I already had the title. Then I just kind of went off that. I went off the title Schmoke. And what inspired me to write it was, you know, I had just been taking so many L's. I was going through a breakup.
Yeah.
And you know, I done made some enemies, you know what I mean? Like, throughout the years, I don't have my life threatened. Like, so I'm just like, you know what? I'm about to get back into this music because I hadn't performed in like a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a long hiatus. So this is like my comeback track.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the track where basically I'm like, yeah, I got power behind me now. I got people supporting me. I got artillery. I got influence. You know what I mean? Like, I want people, when they listen to it, to just go nuts, get turned, get hype.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to feel like they can do anything. If that's the right, you know, description.
Yeah.
That's kind of how. Yeah, that's the best way I can articulate it. It's just I want to give people energy. I want people to bring energy too.
Yeah, what I got out of this song was, I got out of it like confidence and like, it's like, I was just like, you know, when I listened to it, I was like, you know, I would probably speed if I was in my car, I'd probably be going way over the speed limit listening to it. Cause it kind of just, it does, you know what I'm saying? It's aggressive, but not in a violent way, but it increases your heart rate though. It gets you like, yeah, man, I feel like almost like you're feeling like on top of the world for a minute there.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what I was kind of going for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that was good shit. So that guy Cash produced that song?
Yep, Cash produced it.
Yeah, so that guy, he's good. He's good. I liked how the production was what also got my attention. It sounds great, man.
Oh, yeah, I mixed it, mastered it.
Oh, man, nice.
Yeah, I went to school for audio engineering like a few years ago.
That was smart.
Shoot.
So
it
you
was
make
like an online thing, and then I'll go ahead.
No, no, you finish your thought because you went to online. You started online.
Yeah, it was like this online thing, and then like they put you under like a mentor, like a studio, like a local studio, professional studio, so you can get hands on.
Okay.
I apprenticed under Ron Pease. He's worked with Goo Goo Dolls, Ohio Players. He's
oh, man.
Major credits.
Goo Goo Dolls.
So I was able to learn from him a little bit.
Goo Goo Dolls are one of my favorite rock bands. They're freaking great, man. That's a great band.
I love them.
Oh, yeah. They're great songwriters. And I wish, well, actually, they're still touring. They actually were playing not too long ago. They're still touring around, which is good. Now, do you make your own beats, too? Or do you got a go-to guy for that?
Yeah, I got some songs I produced. I'm not really focused on the beat making, but I feel like I'm pretty good at it. I've been doing it for years. I'm mostly focused on songwriting and mixing. Those are my niches right there.
What about a video? I went to your YouTube and I saw the lyric video. Do you think about shooting a video for the song Smoke?
Yeah, people keep telling me, like, bro, you need to drop a visual for this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I need to. It's just, man, this guy out here in Hollywood, man. He was going to shoot a video for me for like $500 and then raised it to like $1,500. I'm like, right? You going to tell me a price? How you going to tell me one price and then raise it up?
Because there's a lot of snakes in the business. And that's why, because there's a lot of snakes in the business. They pull that shit all the time. Videos, first of all, videos are very expensive to make. So if you don't have somebody sponsoring you or you got some money behind you, it is expensive. But there's a lot of dirtbags, man, that tell you one shit and then they just renege on it, you know?
Right, we shook on it, and he's good, too. He was the quality I was looking for, and he's got the eye. So, the thing is, I feel like he should charge more. However, stand on your business. When you tell me a price, don't change it.
No, I agree, fully.
That's the principle.
Yep, that's just an honored handshake. I mean, I agree with that full stop. If you shake your hand with somebody, and then you come to an agreement that they should honor it, you know? So, that's
good.
That was kind of a dick move, to be honest with you. All right, so now I'm back to where I wanted to ask about that writing process. So you, what is your process as far as, you know, making music? Do you ever hear the melody in your head first, and a hook, and then you lay lyrics to it, or is it the other way around ever? Do you ever get a beat and then put the lyrics after that? Do you do it both ways or just one way or the other?
So I will say primarily I will write to a beat. However, I have made songs where I've written bars first.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then found
yeah.
a beat and then the part and the bars just ended up fitting with the song or the beat. So it really just, it's a hit or miss for it. It's either way. But I prefer to really just write to beats. And when I'm during the writing process, I kind of just think of a subject matter, or just like, I like to kind of come up with clever, I guess, similes or metaphors,
mm-hmm.
and then I look at writing as putting together a puzzle around a subject matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, actually.
And I want, at least going forward, I want everything I write to be cohesive and correlate. It doesn't always got to be, like, on topic, because I like to have fun with it, but for the most part, I like my shit to have substance. And I always like to ask questions when I'm writing. Like, what, you know, what is the issue? Or what is, like, when I'm speaking on a subject, where am I when I say this? Where does this take place? Like, it's kind of like the writing process, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that's the approach I take.
Absolutely. What do you... How much does your mood impact the kind of song you write? How much does it drive the type of song?
Well, I mean, music is emotion, so depending on how I'm feeling is you know, I guess that's what influences the song in that moment. Shit, I've written some love type songs, some gritty trap shit. Shit, even some freaky shit for the ladies, you know
there
what I'm saying?
Go. Yeah.
I got all types of different songs, man.
Yeah, that's what's up. what do you prefer more? Do you prefer creating music, or would you prefer performing the song once it's created?
I like the creating process.
Yeah.
Because it's just putting together. Because like I said, I like mixing. I really like the technical side of it more. However, I've been performing since, you know, I was a little kid, and I've had a taste of what it feels like to be in front of people, a lot of people, at, you know, since a young age. So performing for me, I feel like just comes natural. However, I just enjoy the creating process more. I love mixing and getting things to sound how I would like it to sound.
Yeah.
And how I want others to hear it.
I think I'm the same way, and I'm not on your level of artistry, because I play guitar, but I'm not like a great songwriter. I mean, as far as putting a song together, but I like the concept of creating something from nothing, like.
Yeah.
An hour before Smoke, your song, before you started writing that song, it didn't exist on this earth. You know, it was
right.
This void. It was nothing. It was just a big void, empty nothing. And then, boom, you got this song. You created it. You know, you birthed it and raised it, and now it's like, it's there. It exists now. You know what I mean? So I like that the creativity part also more, I think.
It's like there's magic in it.
Yeah. Especially if you see people like really like singing it, like knowing the lyrics and like you know, what I'm saying? Like your song, and you're seeing the positive impact it's having on people the song you wrote.
Man, that's the best feeling ever, too.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've never experienced that, but you as a songwriter, I'm sure you have. That's good shit. All right, man. So
man, I don't even love to write for. Oh, sorry.
No. Nope. You go. What you got?
I was gonna say I would love to write for artists too. Like,
yeah,
I love putting together lyrics.
Look, there's great. There's really good money in that. I got a friend of mine who she was on American Idol like probably like 10 years ago now, like a long time ago, but and she made it like all the way up to like fifth, which is really. I mean, she made it to the live shows. I mean, she sang with Reba McEntire. She's a country legend. But then she got eliminated. She was like number five, I think. She made it all the way to the final five. But she pursued songwriting. She actually moved to Nashville, and she did really well writing for like famous people. Like you can make a shitload of money if you're good at it.
Oh yeah, I can see a lot that there's a lot of writers in the industry behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and they make some good success off that.
I mean, some of them you never even heard of, but there's people that wrote songs that went like triple and quadruple platinum and made the artists like, you know, millions and millions. Mm-hmm. But they also made millions. They're just off the radar. You know?
Right. I love that.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
Love that.
All right, a few more things and we'll wrap it up. What are some of your goals? We got 2024 is like right around the corner. What do you want to do? What do you want to get done going into this new year and forward?
Man, so I'm going to continue releasing music, hopefully by a month-by-month basis. But my biggest goal is I want to get some funding for my record label.
Yep.
and continue to put myself and other artists on the best way I can. That's my biggest goal, is to get funding. Because I put a lot of money into marketing my own music recently, and I'm trying to continue doing that. I'm like basically the test subject of my record label. And if a major label wants to come along and sign my label, I would love that. And they can give me some resources, and I know exactly what to do with it. But going forward, I just want to say to, you know, XJWs, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, those feeling lost, that they can find their purpose out here, regardless of the hardships they're going through. And it's not just XJWs, it's anybody that might feel lost and faithless, you know? Because I never use that shit as a crutch for myself. I always use it as power. This is a source of power. I was abandoned by the very ones that I thought, you know, loved me and that I thought, you know, were there for me. and they'll abandon you. People who you love and trust most will abandon you. And you just have to find a way to find power and love within yourself to carry on. And that's what I did with this music. So I just hope I'm a voice for those people like that just don't know what to do with themselves, that feel lost out here.
Wow, that's deep, man. And it's true. The thing is, it's cults are real. Cults are real, and they can make, like you said, they can make immediate family members disown you because the cult leader is so good at manipulating the person's brain, and they brainwash people. This is like, it's unbelievable, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's somebody, a former United States president that's got a lot of people swindled right now, and they'll fucking kill for them. You know what I mean? So cults are freaking real. I mean, I've seen some documentaries on cults too, about the Jamestown cult. I mean, he coerced like hundreds of people to drink cyanide and this mass suicide.
Yeah.
Cult. That's fucking
crazy. I remember that.
Yeah, dude. So Jehovah's Witnesses are it's a legit cult. I mean, I experienced it with my cousins and my aunt. That I wasn't like, thank God, I wasn't like wrapped up in it, but I saw how it impacted my cousins, and my aunt was just like, you know, thank God she finally did get out at some point, you know, and she's in her 80s now. But it was, it's a real deal, man. The Jehovah's Witnesses are fucking whack, honestly.
They are.
Fucking, you did the right thing. I mean, you got the F out of there, man, and you're pursuing your life now, and it sucks that you have family members that you know, they don't care enough about you. They're just brainwashed. So you got to try to keep that in mind. They're like legit brainwashed, you know, and maybe, you know, hopefully one day somebody will get through to them and then maybe they'll come back around, man. So, hey, man, I really enjoyed talking to you, man. This song's called Smoke. It's good stuff. Everybody out there listening, go support this artist. And I always tell people, don't ask him for free shit. If you support him, buy his stuff, buy his merchandise. Buy his music. The freebie thing is old, man. I mean, it just drives me nuts when people do that. When you got bills to pay and studios to pay for and videos you want to try to do, and people are just like, hook me up with a free this and a free that. Like, yeah, if you really support somebody and you really want to lift them up, then buy their shit. Go to their shows. Absolutely. Buy their tickets. Buy their merchandise. All right, brother. Tell everybody out there where they can follow you, and if you got a website, feel free to drop that, and social media and all that stuff.
Okay, yeah, I'm on Instagram and TikTok. Those are like where I'm most active. TikTok most recent, but Instagram, you can follow me on there. My name is Freemason, FR 2 3s for the E-N. All together. So yeah, Freemason, and then it's the same on TikTok. Yeah, just give me a follow, reach out. I wanna collab with more people. I wanna get in where I fit in.
All right, man. Look, man, first of all, you're very talented. I don't always say that. Your song is really good. I don't always say that. Hopefully you'll get a video done. I understand how that goes, though. It's expensive to do it, so hope you can drop a video. I wish you the best of luck going forward. And when you got some new stuff you want to talk about, just get back with me, man. We'll get you back on.
All right, and one more thing.
Yes, sir.
I'm dropping a song on the 17th.
All right, let's talk. All right, before we wrap it up, so let's talk about this new song coming up on the 17th. Tell me what the song is.
All right, it's called One Chance. It's completely different from Smoke.
Okay.
But I feel like a lot of people are going to relate to it. I'm just going to be dropping singles, you know, with different vibes. See what gets the most, you know, engagements. And because I just love music in general, and I'm very versatile with what I like to write about and what I like to, you know, my delivery and everything. But One Chance is dropping on November 17th, next Friday. And
nice.
It's got three artists on it, me and two artists from Dayton, all Dayton artists, written and recorded by us.
That's good stuff right there. Let me just give you a quick piece of advice. And I learned this from another artist that I had on my show a couple years back. But this person, it was a female. What she used to do when she was debating on, like, which song she should drop and put on an EP, she would do polls. She would put up samples of each song, and then have her social media people vote on it. she got nice. She got that's really good results like that. Yep. So just some advice, man. All right, bro. All right,
I'll try to appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Really, really good talking to you. This is, like I said, whenever you got some new stuff, just let us know. We'll love to have you come back on.
All right, man. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. Have a good night. Take care, brother.
All right, have a good one.